coaches have been fired. Coaches have been hired.
More than we thought. More than we have thought that was going to happen.
Coaches have been hired. Coaches have been fired. But one thing is for sure, it's fucking lit. And the way that it's lit, it is, we have my man's Frank Vogel, and we got my man's Dave Yeager, and we got some openings. Ryan, while I'm talking, can you look up which teams are either looking to make a coaching change or which teams have coaching openings? I believe it's just two right now.
Actually.
Or is it three?
It's more than that.
Because the Kings have openings.
Kings are doing a full-on search. You got the Knicks. You have the Rockets. Now the Grizzlies and the Pacers.
What about whatchamacallit? What about the Nuggets? Are they holding on to
I think they're sticking with Malone.
Oh man.
They'd be foolish if they didn't.
Mike Malone?
Yeah, Mike Malone's a good coach. You don't like him?
I just think I'll have to make that move for Frank Vogel.
Oh, player development, defense. Okay.
I like Mike Malone a lot, but give me Frank Vogel to groom.
Yeah, okay.
Give me Frank Vogel to groom Emmanuel Mudiay, and then that man's going to be a star.
Oh, you savage.
Let me slack. Mike Malone, I love you, bro, but it's Mike Malone in New York.
Man. You savage.
Mike Malone to New York. I'll do that.
Actually, can I have a minute? Ken's update. The Kings have been going on a thorough. Vlade Divac is going on.
I'm going to look for the best coach.
He goes for the best coach. We go from Vinny Del Negro, Jeff Hornacek, Carlos Williamson. I need to look at.
Is it possible that Byron Scott is available? After careful consideration, I'm here to pronounce that Byron Scott is our coach. Kings Nation commits.
Trade Boogie.
Kings Nation will commit suicide in unison.
Yeah. Here it is. Top choice for coach. Before the Dave Yeager news today, this is who they were on a full-on search, so much so that writers such as Mark Stein are using it to describe the Houston Rockets they're doing as a King-style coach search. That's how much they are interviewing. They have, oh my god, I forgot this wasn't even on the list, Henry Bibby. We're talking about, like, related to Mike Bibby. Henry Bibby, David Blatt, Vinny Del Negro, Patrick Ewing, who is not getting the
job. I like Patrick.
He should go to New York. Jeff Hornacek, Mark Jackson, Mike Woodson, my man, who I think is such a, he's going to be slept on so hard, Ettore Messina, the assistant coach of the Spurs, Sam Mitchell, Kevin McHale, who is not going to be, he took himself out of the interviewing process, Indiana's assistant coach, Nate McMillan, Corliss Williamson, who's assistant to the King.
I thought you were going to say Carlos Boozer. I was about to fucking be weak off that shit. But go ahead.
And one! No. And I don't even know who Elston Turner is. I don't even know who that is. I don't know. So, and you can add now, the biggest thing is apparently the Kings are pushing to secure a deal with Dave Yeager, who honestly wouldn't be a bad fit.
I would hate that for him. I just don't see anything coming of it.
Still a crazy. Yeah. If we're talking just the players and what Yeager wants to do offensively, then I don't have as much of a problem. But since the Kings' front office is still a crazy wreck, yeah, it's got its pros and cons.
I just have so little patience for what the Kings do on anything basketball related. I just can't deal with them. But if it happened, I would think that I'd be happy for him because he's getting paid.
Yeah.
But Vogel in New York would be so funny because Vogel's from New York. You have a New York coach coaching the New York team, yeah, he's tough like New York. So he would be able to take that shit talking. Frank Vogel, you fucking suck. Oh yeah, really? Fucking blow me. Like I swear I would hear that in the crowd.
They would be kissing his feet like he was Brad Stevens in Boston.
They would be like, oh my God, we have our Steve Kerr. Like, and you know, they're like the savior.
Anybody but Kurt.
They're like the savior. Like, you know, the savior's come back to save us. Like, you know, he's the messiah for basketball. That would be fun to see. I would love to see that. But other than that, man, I'm really pretty fucking excited to see what they see what this coaching line does. But the problem is, in our last topic that we're gonna cover, is Larry Bird.
Oh yeah, we are.
Larry Legend, four-time champion, correct?
I think it's three.
Oh, so sorry. Three-time champion, Larry Bird, Larry the Legend, one of the greatest defensive dogs. One of the greatest offensive
goat trash talker.
Goat. Small forward, in my opinion, behind LeBron James.
Yes!
Love him. But, Larry, you're not fucked up, right?
Mm.
You know you're not fucked up. Larry, I say this with love. Because I love you, Larry. But you did this past couple days to my man Frank Vogel. That was some bitch made shit. And I believe that sometimes when you do bitch made shit and your boys fuck up, you gotta just take them in the back room and be like, yo, here's how you fucked up. And Larry, as our elder, as a basketball god, I have to just let you know that you did some bitch shit. And what you did was you fired Frank Vogel, and that's not the problem I have. Because dumb GMs make stupid decisions all day. And you're no, you know, perfect saint when it comes to GM, but you're not a bad one either. You know, every GM makes a dumb decision, right? I think it was dumb to fire him. But the reason why I say it was a bitch move is the way you fired him in the press conference that you held. My quick thoughts on this are simply that Larry Bird disrespected Frank Vogel like he was just some bitch ass coach who didn't do anything. Went like, you know, 30-80 in his 3 years there. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'm just throwing out a weird number. Like, you know, he treated him like he was fucking Byron Scott. He treated him like he produced Jeff Hornacek results this year. Like, and the way that he went about it in the manner of the arrogance, like just the dry arrogance that Larry always exudes. But Larry's so boring that people like me, we think that Larry's being arrogant. Larry just comes from such small beginnings that he doesn't have, like, that filter to know when something is, like, yeah, like, you know, something's fucked up. Like, yo, that was a bad thing to say. Like, you shouldn't have did that. Like, Larry will look at you, and you'll be like, yo, Larry, is this shirt too tight? Larry will say, yeah, you look fat as hell in that. Oh, thanks, Larry, bitch. He's like, I thought you asked me my opinion. You know what I'm saying? Like, for anybody else who has that training to know, hey, does this shirt make me look like, hey, man, hey, just buy it if you want it, man. If you like it, then I like it, man. You know what I'm saying? Larry, you know, hey, Larry, does my breath stink? Yeah, it smells like shit. You should probably go fix that probably, right? Hey, other friend, does my breath stink? Yeah, just a little bit, but here's a mint. They're not going to try and hurt your feelings. Larry's just going to tell you straight up. So I have no problem with Larry's upbringing. I have a problem with him not knowing that you sometimes you can't be as real as you want to be. And what he did was he kept it a little too real. And Larry said
over 100.
No, I mean, he kept it over 100. And Larry basically said that hey, Frank Vogel called me and we talked on the phone for an hour. And he tried to persuade me to reconsider. And I was just like, nah. Basically what he said was, so this bitch motherfucker called me. This bitch Vogel called me on the phone, was like, Larry, please don't do this, Larry. We can fix it. And I was like, nigga, who, what? No, get the fuck off the phone. My decision is made. Literally what he basically said, right? And Vogel was like, Larry, please, Larry, I'll do anything. And Larry was like, nah, bruh, that's not how this shit going down, player. No, 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 no.
We need to score more points.
Yeah, and he was like, no, but I need more players. Yeah, don't put this shit on me, man. Don't put this on me. He's just like, Larry, give me some more offense and I can do with what you don't put this on me. This getting players isn't a GM's job.
I got you,
man. Yeah, like, who the hell? He was like, Frank, who the fuck do you think you are? Getting players isn't a GM's job. Fuck is wrong with you? No. And Frank was like, what? Man. That's exactly what your job is. Yeah, I'm not feeling your tone at all. Just get him out. He pulled a Trump. And was like, just get him out. Get him out. He was like, he pulled a Donald Trump at like one of his rallies.
No,
just get him out.
No, don't associate. Don't associate.
Just get him out. Just get him out. Frank is like, no, we need more offense. No, get up. All right, get him out. Get him out. Like, literally what he said. That's literally what happened. So in a nutshell, I don't like Larry Bird's handling of the situation. He said that they needed more offense, and yet only thing he gave him was a 33-year-old Monte Ellis who was lost like three steps since last year. He's so much slower. Yeah,
and
his shot is so not as good as it was last year. He gave him a lot of big men and not enough finesse, not enough offense. They had Paul George, and they were one game away. They were one jersey grab away. They were one shove away from being in this Heat series.
They were one offensive.
They were like probably like four on uncalled calls at the end of a game seven for them to be in the next series. And for him to fire him and talk about how he needed more offense and how the team was not going to trust him. I thought that was just dumb shit. I thought that was stupid. I think the situation is way more nuanced than what Larry's talking about, which is offense. And anyone who's followed in the Patriots fans know that that was a terrible decision to fire him. Because if you don't run into the Miami Big Three all those years, you're in the finals probably back to back to back. And it's sad because I love Larry. Larry, I love you, bro. Everybody fucks up, Larry. Everybody fucks up. But this was a monumental fuck up, in my opinion. But, you have the possibility out there to go get Dave Yeager. So, go make that happen, Larry. If you want offense for real, but what are your thoughts,
Larry? I have a picture of you in my bedroom of you, one of your famous shots of the 86.
Thank you.
This was not a. I don't agree with the philosophy that was used with the decision, because he in the press conference, like he was uncomfortable because he really didn't have the greatest reasoning behind it, and he. When they were asking, I guess, more questions, he got a little more uncomfortable. Like, he didn't want to go into certain details. And, like, he tried to, like, basically... The whole idea about players tune out a coach after 3 years. I'm like, oh, Larry, but there's some glaring examples of that not even being true. Like, you know, Greg Popovich, Rick Carlisle, Eric Spoelstra. Brad Stevens is getting into his third year. Vogel was on his sixth.
Larry Brown. Phil Jackson. Larry Brown.
Yeah. And then when you start to explain it further, going back to when you were a player with Red Auerbach and what they did, let me put, for those that aren't as familiar with those Celtics teams, Larry was one of the only people that liked the coach that he cited at Bill Fitch. He was not viewed as a favorite or a great coach. Mm. And he may have been let go because of those inefficiencies. I don't have all the information to my top, but I do remember he was not – he's not talked about as one of the great Celtic coaches like Tommy Heinsohn, Red. Even Doc gets more praise than Bill Fitch.
The Celtics have a good history of coaches, but I think it's funny because I don't think Larry had the foresight to understand what this means for his team going forward.
You had a top five defense consistently. You had 1 year out of the playoffs, yet Frank Vogel has a 250-181 record who overachieved every year. He made Lance Stephenson into a great – let me take that back. He made into a solid bench player. He made Roy Hibbert serviceable.
Yeah, I don't think we realized that. Is he got the best out of Roy?
He made the Eastern Conference Finals twice.
And he made it interesting every single time.
And he was always in the playoffs except for the 1 year Paul George had his leg injury. That was it. And even then, he overachieved on the projected wins. Like, I don't agree. But here's the part that kills me. And in the Miller Time podcast, like the tweet I tweeted out from the account about this, when this all happened, was that... So it sounds like Larry is not taking any or as little of blame that he may deserve as GM for not providing more offensive talent, because he wanted Paul George to play the four more. He wanted to do more small ball, more innovation that way. Well, Vogel tried, Paul George tried it, but then they eventually went back to the traditional two big man lineup. And then all of a sudden, Miles Turner was like, holy crap, this kid's an impact player. We got to start him more.
Yep.
And Jan Mahimi and Turner was the front court.
Jan Mahimi also had a pretty damn good year under Vogel.
Yeah, he's an unrestricted free agent. He's going to get some money.
I can see him getting a little $45 million contract somewhere.
Like, let me read this roster to you. You tell me the offensive talent that you hear, okay? Paul George, yes. Monte Ellis, yes. Rodney Stuckey, CJ Miles, Lavoy Allen,
whoa.
Jan Mahimi, okay. Jordan Hill, Miles yep. Turner, Solomon,
yeah.
Glenn Robinson III, Rakeem Christie.
Hey.
Joseph Young,
yeah.
Shane Wiginton,
yeah. Holy shit. Awesome.
You tell me where that offense is coming
from. First off, if Ty Lawson had like a total of 345 layups that he could have taken in the Raptor series that he just passed out for dumb, terrible contested shots for some reason, I don't understand that. But on their best days, give me CJ. I'm sorry. No, is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Give on their best days. CJ, George, Lawson, Turner. Yeah. That's probably and Ellis.
I would throw
and Solomon. Ellis and probably Solomon, and that's it. On their best days.
Here's the worst part. Right. To add on to it, Larry Bird, you made another fuck up. You declined Solomon Hill's player option.
Hmm.
And so now he was saying, oh, we'd have to probably, you know, light a fire. It would light a fire under his ass or something like that. And then we'd have to probably pay more to get him back. Well, actually, no, because under the cap rules, under your own mistake, you can only offer him, I think, up to like $2.5 million. So he can get more money because you didn't take his option and you declined it now. So now, even if you try to get him back, you're limited. So, and he looked like he could be your small ball four guy. Even if Paul George didn't, because he was playing well on that Raptor series. And all of a sudden, like, he looked like he could have a role with this team. And you just...
It's okay. It's okay.
Like,
just let it all out.
To the people that I listened else that say, okay, maybe they've reached the ceiling offensively, I don't think that's fully fair. And I understand the argument, but, like, Larry Bird didn't provide Vogel necessarily with the offensive talent.
He didn't give him shit.
He may have needed. Like, this season alone, they overachieved. Nobody had this Pacers
team. He didn't give him jack shit. Let's be completely honest. If this was Sam Hinkie, they would be shitting on that man all week. Because it's Larry Bird, and we have so much respect for Larry, as we should. Everybody's tiptoeing. Well, not everybody. A lot of journalists are tiptoeing. A lot of fans are tiptoeing. A lot of NBA watchers are tiptoeing, trying to not to break any eggshells. You know, stepping on them, honestly. They're trying not to step on the eggshells. And they're just... They're basically walking on them, honestly. And they're just like, oh, Larry, you kind of... No, Larry, you fucked all the way up. Let's understand this.
Like, well, he has a history as a GM because he ran Roy out of town, basically, to the point...
Well, as well, he kind of should have, but that, I really don't...
And David West didn't like how he treated him either, and that's why he left to go to the...
Yeah, Spurs. David West was like, Popovich put that Godfather on him. Here's what you're going to take. You're going to take $1 million. And you're gonna love
it. No, David West is like,
David West said, shit, alright, I'm chilling. He's like, he said, what, how much? 10 minutes off the bench? Alright, say no more. Like that's what he said. Like, alright, cool. Cool. Instead, Larry was like, yeah, you're gonna take this deal and you're gonna do exactly what the fuck I want. And David West was like, I'm gonna do what the fuck I want. You can kiss my ass, Larry Bird. And that sounds so bad to say. It sounds so blasphemous, like, but sometimes...
No, like, he didn't like what he did to Roy. That's why he decided to decline, and that's what the whole thing before the draft, and that's why they ended up drafting Miles Turner.
As they should have, and it was a great decision.
So, like,
so for every loss, Larry's had a W, but they kind of offset, and they have a stale team.
He's made good pick. It's just they need more offense. Like, they have a great defense. They had the third best defense at the end of the season. And they were messing these Raptors up.
Overall, are you giving this two thumbs down, a thumbs down? I'm giving this two thumbs down. I think that Vogel didn't reach his ceiling in Indiana.
No, like, that's the part that kills me. Like, I feel like if he got so much more offensive talent, we could have a better
I definitely
game.
Feel that.
We know, like, player development-wise, he got Paul George to be the budding superstar. He made Roy Hibbert serviceable. Lance Stephenson to get his deal to Charlotte. David West was able to bang glow with the Miami Heat. Like, I like this team a lot.
Two thumbs down for this deal. Don't really have much else to say about it, Larry. You know, fucked up.
Let me put it in this perspective. That same day, there was a tweet that had the list of candidates that I literally saw, and none of them were better than Frank Vogel to me. You had Mike D'Antoni. Mark Jackson may have been on the list, I think. Randy fucking Whitman. I'm trying to remember who Brian Shaw. Oh God, Brian Shaw. Me. Like, Dan. Okay, Larry. Like, offense. if we're assuming Frank Vogel can't produce a great offense based on his track record that you have, okay, so maybe you can talk yourself into D'Antoni, and maybe he resurrects something he had of that Suns offense. But then your defense is probably, we'll assume the defense can stay somewhat relatively within the top 10 based on everything Vogel taught to them, and maybe the defensive assistant, the assistant coaches can keep the defense running. Like, maybe? But now Dave Yeager's on the market, so maybe they can, maybe if he doesn't go to the Kings, then maybe he goes to the Pacers. I don't. I love Frank Vogel. I'm. Let me make that clear. Like, it just. I didn't like this. I didn't agree with it. I don't think he should have been. I think he should have been renewed instead of not being renewed, aka quote unquote fired.
Just overall, like, pieces that they had didn't dictate a firing. You know, to me, Frank Vogel was on his way up along with the team. You have a star on Paul George. Yep. You have a young, talented guy like Miles Turner. Jan Mahimi's a good bench piece. I like him a lot. You have some talent coming in the next couple of drafts. And you've seen maybe they could get trade a couple guys, get a couple mid-level, you know, mid-round picks, and, you know, you stumble upon, you know, players like a, you know, a Devin Booker at, you know, pick 12 or Kelly Oubre at pick 13. There's ways to get to that. And I felt like if Larry truly wanted to see his vision executed, this was not the way to do it. Not to fire Frank Vogel. If for all we know, this move could work out, because I wasn't a proponent of firing Mark Jackson either, and that turned into a championship. So for all I know, this could be, you know, a genius move on Larry Bird's part if he picks up someone like Dave Yeager or whatever. But
maybe,
you know, if he goes from Vogel to David Blatt, then I can't.
Well, I mean, for all we know, it could be him. It could be a Torre Messina who finally gets his shot to coach finally. I don't know, but I don't agree with the reasoning, but moving on. What?
Question, though. If you were Luke Walton, would you rather coach the Pacers or the Lakers?
If I'm Luke Walton and I have his history with the Lakers and a young core and a lot of cap space, and I get to have basically, like, kind of a situation like Brad Stevens did. Like, this is the young roster you're going to do. We're going to work with you. We know it's going to be rough. We don't expect you to compete right away. We expect you to make us great later on. Like, it's not as much pressure. So you get to, like, get your bumps without having to have as much expectation. So I might just say the Lakers for that point. Same thing with the Timberwolves, like with Tibbs and over there, like he gets these nice pieces that are young, a little bit of a core, but it's like the Timberwolves have been bad for so long. Now all of a sudden people are like, oh, maybe they can make the playoffs next year. Well, that's
the
like,
difference. That's the difference is, and without getting into a tangent, we're gonna move on to our last topic of the night.
Right.
The difference is, how do we know that Luke Walton can build up talent? That's my only reservation for all Lakers in the nation out there. I know you are in love with the signing. How do we know that Luke Walton is not simply a product of great players? He has, you know, a star in, you know, superstar in Steph Curry. He has a star in Klay Thompson. He has a great player in Draymond Green. And he has a great bench, and they have, like, they have a great system, right? How do we know that the Lakers, when he gets there, he won't be flailing in the wind? You know, he won't be drowning in a sea of mediocrity. Because I'm not really sold on it, man. I'm just not sold.
I mean, that's a fair criticism about the, you know, did he become a byproduct of having the already established stuff that Kerr did? That's fair. Like, we don't know. I can't argue against that because we don't know yet. All I can say is he's learned under Kerr, and he's saying all the things that are giving people hope. You know, he's not running triangle offense. He's going to be focusing on getting good defensive coaches as well, so that the Lakers' defense is much better than this past season. And it seems like they're going to be focusing more on ball movement. And there seems to be that more of the aspect of taking things that he must have learned from Kerr with the Warriors, and maybe more of a modern offense, pretty much. So whether it be, you know, the Princeton offense with some of those ball movements in the screens and whatnot, or the Spursian style with stuff with like the constant flow of balls moving for a quality shot. We have to wait and see. Like, I, because you're right, I can't argue against it. He might be a byproduct, but I think he deserves a shot given everything he was able to do so well.